Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force with football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 1-800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign up bonus by using bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known among America's favorite sportsbook for lots of reasons. Bet on team and player props, loads of NFL futures, UFC matches, PGA golf, live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebooks has all the horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. Bet US.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Alabama football has another success story. And all of us saw it coming. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. Hope you're having a glorious existence. Live from the book, Harris Cherokee, Cherokee, North Carolina. Doing the same thing, talking college football, except right now when I get off the air, I take about 14 steps behind me and I can actually make a wager. I can hand over a Franklin and they'll give me a ticket on a college game, pro game, golf, whatever's going on. That is at the book. It's not just Vegas, folks. It's North Carolina again. Both Harris locations today, Harris Cherokee tomorrow. Harris Valley River. I said that Alabama football's got another success story, and all of us saw it coming because we discussed it on this very show on Monday. Either Saban or another adult in the room who was paid by the University of Alabama advised Bryce Young to not sign all of the $1.6 million in name, image, likeness offers. We were told during the summer that he had $800,000 estimate in signed deals. That's Bryce Young, Alabama quarterback, who had never started a game. $800,000. While that got a lot of attention, what got even more attention, at least for me, was when Nick Saban said, I think it came from Saban, that, yeah, there's about that much still out there as well, that he wasn't offered $800,000 and signed $800,000. He was offered, in theory, $1.6 million and signed for $800,000. He signed roughly, again, according to, and I believe it was Nick Saban, roughly the reports, I'll say that, half of what he was offered. On Monday, I opined that whoever is advising Bryce Young, maybe it's an attorney, maybe it's an agent, maybe it's somebody with the university's name, image, likeness department. Compliance, I'm sure, is involved. But whoever is advising Bryce Young, and I think it's somebody with Alabama because this is another feather in their hat, I believed and said this on Monday, why would a 19-year-old kid who has the opportunity to make $1.6 million say, nah, I'm going to do the exact same amount of work, because that's basically what it is outside of a photo shoot and some tweets. I will do the same amount of work for half the money. If it was 20 bucks and you were doing it for 10, maybe there's some altruistic reasons. Maybe you're just not about cash. If it's 1.6 and you're doing it for half, son, let's talk. I told you on Monday that the reason he only signed half is because someone correctly advised him that the other half, wait just 5 minutes. Maybe play just one game this season and then see what that other half is worth. It may be worth a lot more than just $800,000. Boom. Kid played all of one game, and suddenly it's worth a lot more. I read this morning, Colin Coward signs Bama quarterback Bryce Young for a weekly podcast. Now, there are a lot of places every single Saturday you can get post-game commentary from a college football player. There ain't a lot of places you can talk to the Alabama starting quarterback for, I don't know, half hour every Tuesday? I don't know the finances here. I actually know the co-host. He signed with Colin Coward about a month ago, signed Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show, who I'd been on with. We had him on our program. I was with him in Birmingham. Colin signed him to his digital platform. Now Jake is going to be hosting the podcast with Bryce Young each week. This is just the latest, folks. Because understand, we're on Tide 100.9 FM in Tuscaloosa. That's an awesome station, too. Love everybody there. Whatever Bryce Young's getting paid, it wasn't going to be from Tide 100.9. It wasn't going to be from Jocks in Birmingham. It wasn't going to be from my flagship, WCNN. It's a pretty big brand, isn't it? WCNN in Atlanta wasn't going to do this. Colin Coward. Hey, Bama quarterback, would you like to do a weekly podcast? Whoever in the room advised Bryce Young, hold off. Let's see what happens after you play a little bit. Folks, this is another selling point to the Bama program on the recruiting trail. I was looking at name, image, likeness deals. We all saw what Quinn Ewers' deal was, right? Quinn Ewers, Ohio State. A freshman quarterback who I don't believe he'll appear in four games this year. I don't believe he'll appear in anything more than that. Quinn Ewers, who is actually supposed to be a high school senior in the state of Texas right now. Quinn Ewers, who reclassified so he could enroll at Ohio State specifically for one reason, to take advantage of name, image, likeness. His first deal came in. It's a three-year, $1.4 million deal to sign autographs over the course of 3 years. Math? And a former major leaguer named Chris Sabo. They are screaming out to the Ohio State fan base right now, trying to save you some money in name, image, likeness. Quinn Ewers' name, image, likeness deal will pay him approximately 10 times what Brett Favre will make to sign autographs this year. Brett Favre's in the Hall of Fame and has this record and that record and is third in that category and a Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion and Pro Bowls and record, all of this. And if Brett Favre hustles, he'll make about $100,000, probably in the $50,000 to $60,000 range this year. Quinn Ewers is going to make nearly $500,000. He never played a snap of college ball. I mentioned Chris Sabo, and this is just because I saw this across my screen earlier this week. Chris Sabo is a former major leaguer. I bet he played in the bigs for 7 or 8 years. He was a third baseman for the Reds, and he was a pretty good ball player. I think he made two all-star teams maybe. Like I said, just a good enough ball player for the Cincinnati Reds. Johnny Bench is the greatest catcher in the history of the game. They can each take in roughly the same amount of money each calendar year signing autographs. See, Johnny Bench will sign one baseball, and you can go online and find this. He'll sign one baseball for $139. Chris Sabo will sign seven baseballs for $139. $20 a piece. That's the take. Johnny Bench's total take is based on his accomplishments. 10 gold gloves, 14 all-star games, Hall of Fame, two MVPs, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you can do. As a baseball player, as a catch, Johnny Bench did it. Greatest player in the history of the game at one of the nine spots. That's Johnny Bench. Chris Sabo was okay. Sabo's take, the way he makes as much as Johnny Bench, is he signs seven times as many autographs, which means there will be seven times as many Chris Sabo baseballs out in the world. Here's the takeaway for you if you're an Ohio State fan. Even at $20 per autograph, a Chris Sabo baseball is likely a money loser for whoever pays the $20 if you're looking at it from a cost analysis spot. Same thing with Quinn Ewers, folks. That kid, his autograph is not based on accomplishments yet because he hasn't played. His autograph is based on volume. He is going to have to sign so many autographs to have the math get anywhere close to working that there's likely no chance of monetary appreciation in the future ever. Again, if you care, and some purchasers do, when you look at all-time Hall of Fame players, who you can't be better than Brett Favre. You can't be better than Johnny Bench. And you've got not supposed to be 18-year-old kid, college. He's not even 18. He's the latest of the ultimate early enrollees. He's supposed to be in high school right now. He's supposed to be asking whoever to homecoming. Instead, he's signing autographs for a half mil. The volume that Quinn Ewers will have to sign, again, if you're interested in the cost analysis, the future monetary gain, it's going to be a loser. If you're an Ohio State fan, and in this case, that's who we're talking to, if you're an Ohio State fan, it's not going to be a monetary appreciation. It's going to be, hey, I got a helmet, a picture, a football, a jersey signed by Quinn Ewers, and he said, to Chuck, go Buckeyes. I know Quinn Ewers-ish. There's your value. The brag to your friends, the put the jersey above the mantle with candles around it, there is your value. If you're buying it for monetary gain, that's almost certainly not going to happen, I promise you.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's a new team, new year. We've been looking forward to the opportunity. Got a great respect for Missouri and Coach Drink and what he's doing. He's really done a very good job in a short time. So looking forward to the challenge.
Individual that I'm a huge fan of, Mark Stoops. I believe he has found the perfect marriage. Paul Johnson used to have this at Georgia Tech, the perfect marriage between coach and program, that we are both achieving about as much as we can. Because if Kentucky decided to go all Ole Miss with David Cutcliffe, what? You didn't win 10 games? Fired. If Kentucky decided to do that with Mark Stoops, let's be honest. Who are they hiring? And I'm not saying they're not going to do any better than Stoops. Now, I don't think they do better than Stoops, but that's not the point. It's Dan Mullen left an SEC school to go to another one. He didn't leave to go to Kentucky. He left to go to Florida. It's kind of what you do. Kentucky, they're not going to hire Dan Mullen when they decide that, you know, we didn't win 8 or 9 or go to whatever it is. We're new direction.
we're going to go take Saban, or we're going to bring Urban Meyer back from the NFL, or whatever. We're going to take Notre Dame's head coach. No, you're not. We know that there are programs where that's possible and programs where it's not. And Kentucky, I mean, they're not looking to upgrade from Mark Stoops, but if anyone or enough in that border regents or trustees, whoever, got enough wild hairs and they decided to move on, I believe enough people would speak up and go, no, we got a pretty good deal here. Same thing, Mark Stoops, to this point, Lord knows could have changed last Saturday because Will Levis was flinging it. To this point, Mark Stoops really looks like a head coach who has maximized his and the program's ceiling. Again, winning titles today, even if you consider a division, quote, championship, I don't. That you beat six other teams. A division championship is not anything I don't know that it's first on Alabama's list. And if you want to be a championship program, what do? You do things that championship programs do, and you don't crow about a division title. At Kentucky, they may. If you're going to win a championship, it's not normally with a defensive-minded head coach who likes to reel it in and pound the rock. And, I mean, Kirby has been trying to do that, and he hadn't won a title yet to the point where this year the suspicion is that won't be the approach anymore. Not Nick Saban's approach, not the approach in CBUS, it's not the approach at Clemson, not the approach anywhere else you're winning national championships. So Mark Stoops, big fan of his, but this is an opportunity this year to change. Like I said, I like Mark Stoops, and that's my perception. And I looked at him and I go, I don't buy it yet. Well, I 1/12 of the way buy it with what Will Levis and the Cats did on offense this past Saturday. And as he said, they're prepping for Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri this coming Saturday game. It's in Lexington, as a matter of fact. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to lodge a complaint. I find out this past Saturday morning when I'm bouncing around trying to find some of those 11 a.m. kicks that ESPN Plus, the SEC Network was supposed to – you get to see every single game, and I know free trials and whatever else, but you had to sign up for the free trial of ESPN Plus if you did to get SEC Network Plus. For at least two games last week, Arkansas's game and Auburn's game were part of a new agreement that for this season and I guess going forward, and they're going to – ESPN and the SEC Network, which is basically the same thing in the conference, they are going to start funneling more of their content to different – because you already pay for the SEC Network. So we're going to just siphon off just a little bit and have you pay just a little bit more for something you were already getting, but now you got to pay a little bit more. So instead of the $18 or $20 or $22 a year for the SEC Network, it's going to be, I don't know, another $6 or $8 or $15 a year for SEC Plus or ESPN Plus, whatever you have to do. You had to do that for two games last week. I don't know how many games or which ones, but the deal is out of the four non-conference games that each SEC school plays each season, beginning in 2021, for the length of whatever this agreement is, each season, SEC Network Plus has the rights to stream, broadcast, distribute one non-conference home game for each SEC school. One non-conference home game per year. Well, it's not going to be when Clemson comes calling. It's going to be when Abilene Christian's in town. Last week, it was Arkansas and Rice was on SEC Plus, and Auburn, Akron was on SEC Plus. And so two of the – and it may have been a third game, but I was looking for those two. I'm really intrigued by Arkansas. And obviously, I'm graduating from my school, so I want to watch my team play. But you had to get the free trial, and they would give you that. And I don't know if it's like you get a free trial at any point, you can have your free trial, or was it 1 week just for week one? But I got to watch football because I got the free trial. Dan, how are you?
You know what it reminds me of? What you're just talking about with the
robbery?
Well, no, not that. But I was talking about
a robbery when they say we're going to charge you $20 and you get all of it, and then they, well, you don't actually get all of it.
Well, it's kind of on us though at a certain point because we think to ourselves, hey, I'm cutting the cable. I've got about five or six streaming services, yes, where I'm probably paying more. So in the end, we're the suckers, not them. You know, it's funny with Nick Saban, what you were just mentioning there, or not Nick Saban, but in a roundabout way, I guess you were talking about him, of you want to win championships, you do what championship programs do. It's kind of the same thing with, why do you think billionaires are so willing to speak to crowded boardrooms and crowded ballrooms at hotels? It's because they know their approach works, and they know their approach works for them. Just because you write note for note, you know, line for line about what that billionaire does to make their fortune does not mean that you're going to be able to do it. Nick Saban shares it because he knows, I got better athletes, and I also know my method works, especially here.
Good stuff there, Dan. Absolutely true. And that is the – I mean, it's the blueprint. It's the template you follow if you want to be a titleist in college football.
It's the first weekend of the NFL. It's the second weekend of college football. Hey, everybody. Dan Matthews here, spending a few minutes to give you some of the odds from BetUS. Noon in Tampa on Saturday, Florida at South Florida. Gators 29-point favorite. Over-under is at 58.5. In Columbus, Ohio State 14 and a hook favorite over Oregon. Moneyline minus 700 for the Buckeyes, plus 500 for the Ducks. Over-under 64. The Pittsburgh Panthers are a 3-point favorite on Rocky Top against Tennessee. Pitt minus 155 money line, Vols plus 135, over under 56.5. Iowa at Iowa State. Cyclones giving 4.5. State's money line minus 190. The Hawkeyes plus 165, over under 46. How about the NFL getting started this weekend? Huge game in Kansas City. Chiefs-Browns late Sunday afternoon. Kansas City giving it 6 at home to Cleveland. Money line minus 175 for KC, plus 155 for the Browns. Saints hosting the Packers in Jacksonville. New Orleans getting 4 points for this home game. Green Bay minus 200 on the money line. Saints plus 170, over under 49.5. Want to have a chance to make some money with BetUS? I got a way. A couple of ways, actually. SST125. With this promo code, you get 125% of a sign-up bonus. For example, that first deposit, $100, we're giving you an extra $125. SST200 for those of you who want to deposit with cryptocurrency. That is 200% on a sign-up bonus. For example, that first crypto deposit, $100, you're getting back $200 extra. BetUS, America's favorite sports book for over 25 years.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 54 sticks. Appreciate everybody making that blessing possible. We're about to turn 7 years old as well. What is it? September 9th. Live from Harris, Cherokee, North Carolina. Be at Harris Valley River over yonder, Murphy, North Carolina tomorrow as well. Live from the floor of the book, the all-new sports book. Both locations live, collegiate pro sports wagering. Texas A&M. A debut this past Saturday where, if you just saw the score on the crawl, 41-10 was the final score. Let me tell you, one of the few things that I know about Jimbo Fisher is, I mean, you can do just about anything you want to. You can steal from the collection plate. He'll counsel you about that. Don't turn the football over. That's the one thing that you kick a golden retriever down the hall. Just don't turn the football over. And there was some of that happening on Saturday, but Texas A&M is still so much talent, better talented, and so much better coached, and so many more resources and depth and everything else that it was still a 31-point win. I want to welcome on now a guy who he and his organization, they do just about as good a job as anybody covering the Aggies program, from TexAggs.com. It is Olin Buchanan. Olin, brother, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Chuck. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate your time. I know how busy you are. It's football season. Talk about Saturday's performance again. The final score, I don't know that that was a lot of mystery going into the game. It was, hey, how is it going to look? How are they going to play? Tell me what you thought about the offense, and you have to include the turnovers.
Yeah, well, the turnovers were obviously disconcerting. But Haynes King making his very first start of his career, I felt like that Jimbo Fisher came into the game wanting to give Haynes as much work as possible. I think that A&M could have relied heavily on their running game and won by even a more comfortable margin. But they just wanted to see what he could do. He had the three interceptions. One was just on a really bad decision. Two others were tipped. One was tipped at the line, so he's got to be aware of that. But Jimbo came away saying that he was pleased because Haynes went where he was supposed to go with the ball on almost every play. And he showed the ability to run. He had a Manziel-esque scramble where he went from literally one sideline to another while dodging tacklers to pick up a first down. We know he's really fast. He showed that. I think, you know, when you come away from it, he threw for 200, almost 300 yards and two touchdowns. If they can, clean up some of the, obviously the interceptions, like I said, one of them I think was a result of some guys running a bad route. He had too many players from A&M in the same position. And when ball deflected off of Jalen Widemeyer, who he wasn't throwing to, it became an interception. So I don't want to make excuses for the kid, but we feel like on his for his first game that he did really, really well. And I think there was actually more concern coming out of that game with the defense allowing over 200 rushing yards.
Continue with Olin Buchanan from TexAggs.com. There are questions along those lines because obviously the competition goes up this week and it's, quote, on the road-ish. It's not at home. It's not in somebody else's stadium either, but it's still on the road. Continue with Olin Buchanan again, TexAggs.com. Let's talk about one of the positives I think I saw because, the negatives, the turnovers always jump out. But one of the positives is he was able to spread it around a little bit and get the tight ends involved, which are always going to be with Jimbo as well, Anaya Smith. The distribution I thought was pretty good last week from Haynes King.
Yeah, he did. In his first series, he was 6 for 6 to 5 different receivers. But he also did what he needs to do, which is get the ball to Anaya Smith as much as possible. Now, Anaya did drop what should have been a touchdown pass for their second touchdown. They settled for a field goal. Anaya had 8 catches for about 100 and something yards and a couple of touchdowns. So that's smart. And he did show that he wants to, he's not shy about throwing deep. One of the big knocks on Kellen Mond in his career was he was apprehensive about throwing deep. Well, Haynes isn't. He completed a 53-yarder to Caleb Chapman, and that was significant because you might remember Caleb Chapman had the 2 long catches for A&M in the upset against Florida last year and then hurt his ACL, and to get him back really will be a boost for that offense. But he threw deep for Jalen Widemeyer, didn't complete it, but showed that he'll throw deep. Had a long pass to Isaiah Spiller out of the backfield, and probably if you're a receiver, he catches that. Running back, it might have been a little more challenging, but. Anyway, it just showed that I think that they're going to look to throw deep more often with Haynes King at quarterback.
Olin, you mentioned Caleb Chapman there, and he's a kid that and I was going to ask you about him. Played 2 or 3 games last year, gets hurt, and he's a bigger receiver, though. He is, you can look like Mike Evans. I don't mean you are Mike Evans, but that is a different sort of kid to defend, and he was one of my big, the 3 or 4 notes I made for every team going. I was like, if this kid comes back, it can really change the offense, not only on the outside, but when they get in the red zone. Talk about what you saw from Caleb during the game.
It's funny you mentioned Mike Evans, because coming out of high school, that's the guy that coaches that played against Caleb Chapman were saying that that's who we're reminded of, because they're kind of from the same general area. Caleb is 6'5", you know, good speed. I'm not going to say he's a burner, but he probably runs in the mid 4.5s, and he has outstanding hands. And last year, you know, he looked like he was on his way to a breakout season, had three touchdown passes and three touchdown catches in two games, had two long catches against Florida, and then on the 50-yard catch for a touchdown that tied that game, he tore his ACL. So A&M lost their deep threat and became, because of that, a team that relied more heavily on just the running game and play action. That was the best way to win. But having Caleb back, and he looks really, really healthy, looked really good, that gives A&M that dimension, the, you know, a guy that can stretch the field and maybe make the safeties back up a little bit, which, you know, will benefit the shorter passing game and the running game. So I think his presence makes that A&M offense a lot better.
All right, I just want to ask you about one kid on defense. Shamar Turner, who is a freshman, and I mean, I don't know, it's 18-year-old kid playing one game against Kent. I don't know what you're going to learn, but boy, does he look the part, and now he's actually played some college football. Talk about him.
Yeah, wearing that number 5, he looked like Bobby Brown out there, and he came in and made a sack early in that game, and he's really, you know, just big, strong, quick guy. He's a 5-star guy, and he showed why. Now, McKinley Jackson, who's going to be a second-year player, he's suspended. I don't expect that he's going to play against Colorado, but when he comes back, you know, he's going to be in the lineup. But I think they feel really good with Shamar Turner here early in the year. They're getting some work, but I suspect that when they've got everybody, when they're full strength, that Shamar probably won't play a whole lot on running plays, but I believe that they're going to bring him in on passing downs, because you know, he showed that he can provide pressure from the, you know, that inside pressure to go with Michael Clemens, who's back, coming back from suspension this week, and then DeMarvin Leal. So I think he's just a guy that is very explosive and, you know, can really add to the pass rush.
And this is just a real quick guess. What do you think they want to do with his body? Do they want to, like, blow him up and keep him inside? Do they want to get him on the edge, maybe run some odd fronts with him? I mean, what's the general idea about this kid?
Man, that is a heck of a good question, because he's kind of like DeMarvin Leal in that, you know, if you put 10 pounds on him, well, but you could put DeMarvin inside anyway, but if you put 10 pounds on him, 300 pounds, he'd look it, but he's so quick that he plays on the end. And I think Shamar's the same kind of guy. So I think it's really going to come down to what the other guys do. Now, I know that, you know, you're going to lose Michael Clemens. He's a super senior after this year, and probably Tyree Johnson, who also plays on that end. And DeMarvin Leal is going to go into the draft, even though he's a junior. So, you know, just looking at what they're going to need to replace, I would kind of suspect after this year they'll really look at him at the end.
All right, last thing for you. What's the threat level of the Colorado Buffaloes this weekend?
Well, Colorado is a better team than Kent State. A&M's going to have to play better. Can't have 5 turnovers. You know, on a scale from 1 to 10, probably a 5. You don't want to dismiss anybody. But if you look what they did on run defense at the end of last year, and I know things are different, but I think in the Alamo Bowl, Texas ran for about 303 yards on them.
Yep.
I think they gave up at least – I think Utah had 192 yards rushing in their last regular season game, and the one before that they gave up about 230 yards. So I think A&M is going to be more likely to take advantage of its running game than it was last week, because, quite frankly, you got to do what you do best, you know, this week. But if A&M can avoid the turnovers, you know, I think they have a good chance to cover.
Real quick, like Gus Malzahn decided, all in with Bo Nix. Matt Luke's like, I'm going to slow play it and try to keep both quarterbacks in the program. Well, they both got fired. What do you think Jimbo's approach is with Calzada?
I think that Calzada is going to be the backup quarterback. I think that if A&M has a big lead, that they'll bring him in mop-up time, and that's going to be his role as the backup unless Haynes really starts to struggle. And even with the interceptions last week in his first half, I didn't sense that he was struggling. So I just think that, you know, that Haynes won the job, and Jimbo's the type of guy that wants to go with one quarterback if he can.
Well, Olin, I always appreciate the input, man. So interesting what's possible this season for the Aggies. And it is not just, well, let's get us to the Bama game. They got business to handle before then. I appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you.
Anytime, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
All right, Olin Buchanan, TexAggs.com. Yeah, you can. And Jimbo is one of those coaches you're not likely – I mean, it's the reputation, but it's real with him. You're not likely to fast forward past anybody. And I was wondering – what Olin's description of Zach Calzada and his spot on the team is. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion from the outside, whether it's the Aggies or any other program in America. It is better for the starter and the backup and anyone else. If we had a competition, this kid won, boom, we're off and running. If there is a winner in the competition, roll with that kid. Do you know why that's even better for the backup? Because when you're slow playing it like Matt Luke did, for instance, between John Rhys Plumlee and Corral, when one of you comes on the field, like you're the backup, okay? You're listening right now. You are the backup. You come on the field, whether it's for a play, a series, something. Even if you perform well, do you know what? You got one brain cell in the back of your gray matter screaming, well, now, wait a minute. This other guy, my teammate, he won the job because he played better than me, and the coach still put the backup in. So even if the backup does what he's supposed to and works hard and overcomes and gets his opportunity and maximizes a next man up, even if all of that happens exactly according to script, even at that point, the former backup who is now the starter, your slow playing of this, trying to satisfy both kids, it now works against the kid who did everything he was supposed to, because you're like, well, what did the starter mean before? Didn't mean much. What does it mean now that I'm the starter? That's my opinion. Coaches have tried different ways. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And mostly based around the talent of the kid, though. With Jimbo Fisher, from his standpoint, from the coach on the sideline, yeah, I was not expecting that Jimbo would kowtow to try to keep a 19-year-old kid happy. Jimbo looks at it old school. And I told this story before. I was down, this would have been August of 2005. Larry Coker was just opening his fall camp at Miami. And I was down there one day for practice, and it was wound up as not a very good team. They won some games, but it was not a great team. But and I'm trying to remember, who was it? Was it Kyle Wright was the quarterback then? Maybe, or Kirby Yates, or whatever. It's not good. But I'm at practice one day, and I'm watching them go through. There's so many talented players all over the field. And after practice, I was talking to Coach. I was like, you got like six receivers. You got like four running backs. You got three tight ends, and they're all these NFL prospects. How do you keep them all happy? Larry Coker, and this is 16 years ago, 1903. All right, this is how long ago this quote seems. Imagine a coach saying this today in a few places, maybe. I said, how are you going to keep them all happy? Larry Coker looked me dead in the eyes like, isn't it their job to keep me happy? Isn't it their job to keep me, the head coach, happy? How am I going to keep them happy? I'm going to keep the starter happy because he worked harder or was better or what than everybody else in the depth chart. I'm not going to make them happy. It's their job. Yeah, there was no transfer portal in 2005. There was no player voice in 2005. There wasn't no Twitter in 2005. That just is not something. You know, John Kennedy, what was his famous quote in the 1960? Wasn't it the 1960 election? Ask not what you can, your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Can you imagine a politician saying that today? It is more than anything on the campaign trail. Here's all the things that I will use tax dollars to buy your vote with. Here's all the things we're going to do for you. Can you imagine a college head coach being as verbal and direct as Larry Coker today? It's their job to keep me happy. There are a couple that can pull it off. Jimbo is absolutely one of them. So I was not expecting that he would be overly accommodating to someone that, in his estimation, is a good enough football player to get a scholarship to play quarterback for Jimbo at Texas A&M. But right now, as of today, just this week, he still isn't better than Haynes King. That's the situation I expect, and that sounds a lot like what Olin was describing. We're going to break, come back, wrap up hour one next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's football season, and I'm broadcasting from a sports book. Scoreboard. It is the Chuck Oliver Show live on a Thursday from Harris Cherokee, Cherokee, North Carolina. Tomorrow be Harris Valley River in Murphy. Both places broadcasting from the casino floor at the all new book. Shiny, sparkly sports book. You can walk to the window. You can use a kiosk. Hang. Winners come rolling in. That's what happens here at the book. So, again, we're here in Cherokee today, and listeners stopping by every single time we're here. Folks come by and say hey, so that's always awesome. Olin Buchanan, TexAgs.com. Appreciate him coming in. Hour two, we got Matt Jones going to come in here from Kentucky Sports Radio. Always love talking to Matt about the authority that you're going to find, best you're going to find anywhere when it comes to Wildcats football, and I'm very intrigued by how real that offense is. We had and we also got Travis Ryer. I mentioned that earlier. I was going to talk Alabama. I pushed Alabama back from Monday. I always go in order of who won, first of all. It's rare that on a Monday the biggest story is somebody who lost. That was Georgia. When they lost to South Carolina, I didn't start Monday with South Carolina's dub. It was Georgia lost. But that's rare. I always try to, you know, the biggest wins. And then there's Alabama. It has to be the biggest wins from the best teams. And I started with Alabama when I was sketching out my week on Sunday. I was like, we'll talk Bama on Monday. I was like, maybe push it to Tuesday. Well, maybe Wednesday. Maybe I can fit them in Thursday because there just wasn't a whole lot to say. And they've got the Mercer Bears coming to town Saturday. And, boy, is Saban not happy. Apparently social media, after you beat Miami, the number 14 team in America, by 31 points, apparently social media reacted with some positivity, and Saban ain't having it. He does not have time for your compliments. Following Saturday's game, says that Mercer is a fine football team and they need your respect. So Saban is in a poor mood this week because the Mercer Bears are on the prowl. But we will be talking. We were talking Kentucky earlier, and I want to see how real that offense is. Last week, they scored the points. Okay, that's what I will give them credit for. That at the outset of a season, if you look this good in week one, I almost don't care what the context is. Kentucky played Louisiana Monroe. They're not much, not this season. I bet they're going to improve, though. Do you know who their coach is? Do y'all know who the coach is? It's Bowden, Terry Bowden down there. So they'll get better. But they got beat by 5 touchdowns. And when I say I want to know how real that offense is, there are plenty of times over the past 5, 6, 7 years that the Kentucky Wildcats have beaten an opponent like Louisiana Monroe by about the same amount, where they have just dropped the opponent into a wood chipper, where it was Rodriguez or Benny Snell, Kavassier Smoke, he's still there. Any of just this, I mean, ground and pound offense, they would beat you 45-10, but it would be with about 68 rushing attempts. Saturday, we could, and see, this is the thing. It's easier to run block. This is one thing that I was impressed with. It's easier to run block. Do you know in a lot of schemes how you run block? This simple, folks. Everybody think offensive football because you hear these play calls and there's like 27 words in the play. Here's a run block for a lot of schemes, especially if you're Kentucky and you're big and strong. Find the first opposite colored jersey, get him turned. There you go. There's your assignment on a play. And Kentucky would do that about 68 times, run for against Louisiana Monroe in week one because it's easier to do that than pass block and be precise on routes and throws and everything else. So week one, we're just going to come out and run the ball. That's what they would do. Not this past Saturday. Ran the ball 34 times for 145 yards. 34 runs, 33 called pass plays. 419 yards, three times through the air, and this was a work-on-it game. This was a splash around in the shallow end of the pool sort of game. Not the 12-foot waters. That's when you play Georgia or the Gators or Bama or whoever. That's later. Whatever. This was a work-on-it game, and it was successful. Kentucky, at this point, what they don't need to necessarily, quote, work on is smash-mouth football. They've got that part figured out. They could have lined up against the Warhawks and run the ball 68 times, put up 200 and whatever yards on the ground, and called it a day. They decided to see exactly what they have in their new quarterback, Will Levis, the transfer from Penn State, and I am looking forward to seeing them round two this Saturday against Missouri.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.